This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, February 23rd. I'm Gavin Dahl. Delta County Memorial Hospital and 13 countywide clinics are rebranding as Delta Health. The rebranding will bring noticeable changes to the hospital and its network of clinics over the coming year. The new name is intended to indicate that services are more than the hospital, like the community clinics in Delta, Surface Creek, and the North Fork Valley. The Delta County Independent reports the rebranding is part of the system's larger strategic plan. Even though Grand Mesa and surrounding areas received January and February snowfall that exceeded last year's totals, the DCI reports it's not enough to lift the area out of exceptional drought. Numbers indicate Delta County will be dependent on snowfall for the remainder of February and March to reach a comfortable level. As of the second week of February, a total of 232 inches of snow has been measured for this 2020-2021 season, compared to a total of 551 inches two winters ago. Once again, the Animas River has recorded a record low flow, the Durango Herald reports. A U.S. Geological Survey gauge in Durango with more than a century worth of data collection shattered records for the second time in 2 months with levels at just over 71 CFS or cubic feet per second. Snowpack in southwest Colorado has caught up a little after a recent series of storms, but is still only at 86% of average. A new lithium mine on BLM land in northern Nevada has been fast-tracked by the Interior Department. High Country News reports the open-pit mine will utilize a new extractive technology using sulfuric acid. The public comment period was truncated, and nearby ranchers and members of the Paiute Shoshone Tribal Nation have concerns about groundwater contamination. Lithium is used in batteries essential to cell phones, tablets, and electric vehicles. Independent investigators hired by the city of Aurora are criticizing the actions of the police and medics in the death of Elijah McClain, a black 23-year-old. The Aurora Sentinel reports the outside investigation released Monday is highly critical of how police and medics confronted, detained, and subdued the young man prior to his death 2 years ago. The 157-page report details how McClain, unarmed and not suspected of a crime, was encountered, arrested, and tranquilized with a dose of the powerful sedative ketamine. He suffered cardiac arrest and never regained consciousness. The assessment concludes police and medics did not have justification to stop, hold, arrest, subdue, choke, or medicate McClain. The panel of investigators, composed of an attorney, a doctor, and a former chief of police, further castigated Aurora Police for a failed internal investigation. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser opened a grand jury investigation into the case last month. And Lauren Boebert's congressional campaign has amended its post-election Federal Election Commission filing, which raised red flags due to massive mileage reimbursements. The amended version still shows Boebert paid herself $21,200 on November 11th, but now says that was for mileage and hotels, not just mileage. That means they're treating it as a clerical error. The Federal Communications Commission may award the company SpaceX nearly $900 million to beam high-speed internet from satellites to rural areas, but as Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie explains, small internet providers argue the technology isn't feasible.
SpaceX was tentatively awarded the money through the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. That new fund is giving out $9 billion to companies who bring reliable internet to rural or other underserved areas. But Jim Matheson says SpaceX's satellite project is still in the testing phase.
This money's there to deploy existing proven technology, not to fund experimental technology to see if it works or not.
Matheson is CEO of the trade group, the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. It represents smaller internet providers, and he wants the FCC to take a hard second look as to whether SpaceX can actually deliver. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
Rivers throughout the Southwest are projected to get hammered by climate change as the region continues to warm. KUNC's Luke Runyon has more on a new study.
Researchers at the U.S. Geological Survey found rivers across nine western states could see flows decline 36 to 80% by the year 2100. Olivia Miller is a USGS hydrologist in Utah. She says reductions in snowpack, increased evaporation, and changes to precipitation all play a role.
We projected changes in those headwater areas that really drive declines downstream,
affecting drinking and irrigation water from already overtaxed sources like the Colorado River and Rio Grande. Miller's study also shows ongoing shortages will likely put interstate and international water sharing agreements in the region at risk of failure if they don't adapt. I'm Luke Runyon.
The group Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship educates elected officials and others on the right about environmental issues. KVNF's Kate Redmond speaks with the group's president, David Jenkins, who says the Republican Party has lost sight of conservative values.
The premise of your group is that conservatism requires us to be good stewards. This would seem to put CRS at odds with the majority of the Republican Party who is in favor of drilling and fracking on public lands. Do you feel at odds with the Republican Party?
I think if you poll most Republicans in terms of issues on conservation and stewardship, you find a strong stewardship ethic. But certainly when you talk about talk radio and some of the more libertarian elements of the party, it kind of seems to run counter to that stewardship ethic sometimes.
Is it possible, as Theodore Roosevelt said, to protect capitalism from the excesses of greed?
Yes, that was really what he tried to do, because he saw socialism rising across Europe. And then he saw the excesses of capitalism in the U.S. with the whole robber barons, child labor. He realized that if capitalism went too far in excess, there would be a backlash against capitalism and socialism would rise in popularity. I think a lot of people have lost sight of that kind of need for direction and guardrails on capitalism and don't really realize what kind of backlash there can be if capitalism is so excessive that it's not working for most people.
In our system here in the United States, we have what some might see as elements of socialism. I'm speaking of snowplows, trash pickup, and public utilities. And we saw just recently a catastrophic failure of utilities in Texas. How does that square with the conservative view?
Texas weren't really putting in guardrails on the utilities. They made winterizing that equipment optional. So no surprise that the utilities decided to save a buck and not winterize that equipment. And now all the utility customers are suffering.
Do you think that the free market can take the place of government regulation?
I think the government regulation has to work in conjunction with the market forces. You have to put some of those standards in place to make sure that the companies are not just acting in the best interest of shareholders, but their customers as well.
Talk to me about how your organization deals with climate change.
Ironically, the Republican platform in 1988 actually called for dealing with climate change following the model that Reagan set in dealing with ozone depletion.
Now you're calling on the Biden administration to make some alterations in the oil and gas leasing policies. What are you asking the new administration to do?
We support the executive order that was put out that paused leasing on our federal public lands to do a review. There's been legislation percolating through Congress that would reform the oil and gas leasing process. It hasn't been changed in more than 3 decades. One thing is to raise those minimum bid prices. We shouldn't be getting rid of valuable acreage for $2 or $1.50 an acre.
That was David Jenkins, president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. For KVNF, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl.